Okay, we're going to celebrate communion this morning. But before we do, wrong notes. Can't be going there. My goodness. I did want to just make mention of our fast. I think it's important that we're on a week fast and we're believing that God did something, and more importantly, is going to continue to do something in our hearts and in our church and in our community over the next year. And so, but I want to say this, that many people, when they go on a fast for the first time or something like that, or maybe even the 10th time, and it's a rocky road, and they come out of it and they think, well, that wasn't all that successful. I want to let you know that we called a fast, and if you fasted one meal a day or one all week unto the Lord, or you went all week, you obeyed the Lord, and that always blesses his heart. That's my reward as I finish this fast. That's my reward, is that I heard from God, I felt I heard from God and led the church in that. And then it's completed, and I was in celebration. I break my fast Saturday night. I was in celebration last night that was accomplished. There's a lot more that got accomplished. I know that. But just that is enough. The Father's heart is pleased. And so I want to encourage those that you might have felt, or you might have got for your goals halfway through, and no. Every time you do it as unto the Lord blesses that. So rejoice today. Jeff, you can join me in the soup line there. I'll buy. And that's what I like about this church. That's one of the things I like about this church team. It's not that, we all crossed the line or da-da-da. It's what's God leading you? And I know many in the congregation, I happen to pick the 18th, to the 25th. That's hunting season. I don't hunt. Those poor guys, I realize later, hunting, I think, takes effort. But anyways, my point is this, that everybody, we're not, it's all this, all that, it's the other. It's the Spirit of God lead you. As leadership, we lead the church, but you go to God and see what he's asking you to do. It's not judgment, it's not legalism, it's ask the Spirit of the Lord as we enter together. Amen? I love it. Okay, not very often does my heart get banging in my chest, but I was sitting there this morning, even during the worship, and it was just boing, 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 what's happening here, Lord? So you might not think that's a sign of the presence of the Lord, but it was in my life this morning. Here we go. Quick little, testimony with God's word involved concerning the fast that just took place before we lead into communion. I began I was here Sunday morning. Felt we had a wonderful time in the presence of the Lord. And off I went. Away we go. Wonder what the week looks like. And during that day, I felt conviction in my heart. I had been saying to a few of my friends about doing a good deed. I was just running it by them. Hey, I'm thinking of this. I feel God dropped this in my heart. And I shared it with a few. And then I realized we're 6 weeks out and I still hadn't done it. Good intentions and hadn't done a thing. And so I felt tied to the fasting there. I felt get up out of Blairmore and head out, inconvenience, but go see if you can track down an individual. And the story's this, probably 20, 23 years ago, I used to take my vehicle to a certain place, and every time I took my vehicle there, it was repaired far less than what I expected. Matter of fact, and I didn't have much money, so every dollar counted. And I would go in there thinking, oh boy, here we go, $100. Al, you don't need to do this, just $25. Honestly, it would blow, thank you very much, and I appreciated it. That was 20, 25 years ago. And God was putting that on my heart recently. And instead of going and doing something about it, I was telling my friends, hey. Well, finally, the Lord got a hold there, and I went, and I got some cash, and I simply tracked this individual down. I didn't know if I'd be able to find him, but I did, or the Lord did, pardon me, and I was able to just present him, just say thanks. I remember this 20-some years ago when I had little and you blessed my life. Mm-hmm. And here you go. As far as I know, the guy doesn't know the Lord. I don't know what he thought of what I did, but he just said thank you and away I went. But fasting, seeking the Lord, he'll bring back things and memories and stuff like that. Hey, I want you to do that. Now those seeds, I say that, those seeds have been planted. And I pray the Lord waters them. I don't know where it's going to lead, but I pray that individual would be blessed somehow by the Lord. And I know my heart is in obedience unto God. That's where it started. But then Isaiah 58 verse 7, is it up there? As I went before the Lord, probably a week or two before this chapter came to me on fasting. And then again, I got an email this week with this chapter as well. And it was in my heart. And this verse really highlighted as I focused on, Lord, where are we going as a congregation? Direction for our congregation, DNA, what's happening, Lord? And the fast, as I explained last week or the week before, Israel was fasting unto the Lord and they were hard-hearted. They were putting on the sackcloth ashes, going without the food. Woe is me, I'm hungry, this, that, and the other thing, that the Lord would see them. But when it came time to treating people, their fellow Israelites, they treated them horribly. Treated them horribly. And God rebuked them sternly. Is this the fast I called just to rend your garments and not your heart? And this I hold against you. And he says, you really want to fast? This is the fast I've called. And this is just one verse. Is it not to share your food with the hungry? To provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them and not to turn away from your own flesh. And then don't go there, but in verse 8 it goes on and says, and I will do this, the Lord says. If you take care of that, I will do this, I will do this, I will do this and bless. But the Lord had to withhold his blessing. Why? Because the people were fasting with wrong motives and they were not treating their brothers and sisters as God would treat them. See, those, the poor, the wanderer, the desolate, they're God's. They're God's children. And God wants to love those people. And he wants to love and care for them through the Holy Spirit working through you and I. Pretty simple, eh? That's it. I remember 4 or 5 years ago when I would say to Kyla as I looked at the church and I thought and I all these people coming and what do we do? And I felt the word of the Lord in my heart was this, Al, if you will take care of the poor and the weak and the needy and the disenfranchised and the marginalized, if you will take care of them, focus the church on taking care of them, I'll take care of the rest. You watch what I will do in people's lives. So there it is again for me 5, 6 years later. The focus of the church as we move into the new year, you'll hear it from your leadership. How can we help the poor more? How can we take care of those that have very, very little? Just a thought. So that's corporately. Next to that one, which really got me excited, really, is this concerning where we're going in the new year, was this Alpha program. I've heard about it 20 years ago. It's been redone. I've heard good reports, whenever I've heard Alpha program being presented, there's been good results. I've heard that for years. In the last year, I've heard a few of our discipleship group leaders thinking, maybe I'll go down that trail, maybe I'll go down that trail. And finally this week, or the last few weeks, it was brought to me. Jeanette got a hold of it. And this week, I was able to look at 5 videos. Wow. And I watched those videos and I thought, wow, just like in purpose-driven life when we were moving into that and there was confirmation. Just like that, I watched this. And Alpha, if you haven't heard of it, it's like this. You bring a group of 8, 16, maybe 32. You meet together for a meal and you have fellowship. And these people are consisted of hopefully 50 people within the church and 50 people in our community that don't know the Lord at this time. And you bring them in and have a meal and share with them. And hopefully one person's bringing a friend, that type of thing. Share a meal. And then we come upstairs and for 20 minutes and 25 minutes, we watch a video presentation concerning the gospel. And I watched that presentation. I thought, wow, just a simple, beautiful presentation of 12 videos, one each night. Who is Jesus? what on earth am I here for type of thing. The Holy Spirit. What is prayer? Simple things that the gospel teaches that people that we're able to bring from our community can watch that, sit in a group and discuss in a non-threatening way and make their mind up as they've heard the truth, the gospel truth, to either follow them or say no. But a beautiful presentation. And for the last 3 or 4 years, our church has been built on these three principles. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Abide in the vine. Jesus said, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now, you go love one another. That's us here in the church. And the third part, I've always said, a little bit of resistance there of going and reaching the lost at any cost. Reaching out to people. But this is what this program's all about, is taking what God has placed in you and reaching out a friend and bringing them into the house of God to present the gospel in a loving way. That's what had my heart beating this morning so excited, but I just feel that God's leading us along that path, and he loves that community, this community that he's placed us in so much, and he's made this tool available at this hour to reach out to people. Would there be one amen for that one?
Amen.
Tomorrow night, we've got that meeting. But so those are the two things corporately. Looking out for people that have less, that are marginalized, that are the needy in our assembly and our community, and reaching out to people that don't know Christ with the love of God. For me personally, I think we'll save it till next week. I just always hate Russian communion, and I'm watching the clock. Can somebody run downstairs and check how the cooks are doing? Okay, thanks, Mary. Come up and just give me a, are they ready at 11:30 or 22? I would hate to dismiss us early and them not be ready, Lord forbid. But here's a verse that briefly I'll just share that I felt God working in me personally as a pastor. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1 to 4. Apostle Peter, he's older now, he's writing. And he says, to the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's sufferings, and one who will also share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. Not greedy for money, but eager to serve. Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. For me, as I meditated upon God's word and felt God leading me into this chapter, I looked at that and I thought, Al, are you really that willing? And I felt, no, I haven't been. I could be a lot more willing to serve the sheep. Because that verse says that as God wants me to be. And one of my favorite prayers to God is Psalm 37, verse 4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll grant you the desires of your heart. And my deepest desire in my heart is to please the Lord. Sometimes I'm not quite sure what that road entails, but deep down in my spirit, I want to please the Lord. And that verse simply says to me that it is God's will that I be willing. It pleases the Lord when I be willing. So when you pray for me, as many of you do, I want you to underline this verse, that your pastor, not only your pastor, but the fellow elders in the church, would be willing, would be eager to serve, and would be an example to this flock. Write it down. I don't see any pens, but write that down or send me a text later. But no, I'm serious. Yesterday, I think maybe I could go a lot deeper in this, what God was doing. Some things you keep private, but I tell you what launched me into this is I was at a men's meeting yesterday, and I don't know if there's 16 or 18, and Bill got us together, and he started out the meeting, and he just shared from his heart, deep in his heart. He says, guys, here's where I'm at. And threw it out. He says, just give me a word. Speak to me. and he bared his heart. And it really touched mine. We went around the room and other guys just said, here's where I'm at. I need prayer. Can you pray for me? This is what I felt I got in the fast, but boy, it's a huge mountain. Can you pray for my heart that God would put it in there? And I was so moved. I went home that yesterday afternoon and just made notes on what guys said. And I looked at it, I thought, wow, that it was so beautiful to be in that presence with men, just being men, loving God with all their heart, soul, mind, the best they can, and sharing weaknesses and faults and all of that together. And it was so beautiful, the time of prayer after, just we care for one another. That's what Jesus' body is all about. We're all a part of his body, and when one's weak, stronger ones lift up. I prayed for one guy, and I said, my friend, I was there. I'm strong now, I'll pray for you. And when I'm weak again, you pray for me. So, where did I go with that one? There's a personal word for me, and one in closing. This is, I felt rather humorous, but I feel it was God allowing this in my life to experience what other people go through. I went over to France. I got a call this week. I was into day 5. Things were cruising. Physically, I felt strong, fairly strong all week. Strong considering what I was doing. Mentally, I get, what do you call it, fog brain? You know, I'm not bright. Ask me a question. I'm a little slow, but this went over the top. I was in these people's home, and they were asking me a question, and I was in the middle of a story, and thoughts were completely flying. I'm looking at them, and is this happening? I'm answering this question. I'm in the middle of it, and I'm, holy smokes. And fortunately, they knew me well. I wasn't making a complete idiot myself. They knew me well, and we had a bit of a laugh, and I said, I think maybe I'll come back another time and explain what I really want to say. And I laughed and I thought, that is weird. I've fasted many times. That has never happened. And so I analyzed later. And between that, and I thought about that, and I thought about the weakness that we all feel physically when we go through these things. And the Lord, I felt, spoke to my heart is that people in my own congregation, in his congregation, probably 30% of you, your worst day, my difficult day on this fast, every day is that what you face. Every day. I had a little fog brain for what? Maybe 2-3 minutes. Some people get up every morning and because of meds or other things, that's every day they go through that. And so I drill that down to me. What's God saying to me? He's just saying, my strength God gives me is to serve others. Cut and dried. I had a good friend say to me 14, 15 years ago, he says, Al, for all I know, God has blessed me with strength that I might serve my wife because she is weak. And I never forgot what he said. And I think about that, and I think that God's given me health and strength, not for my own but that I might serve others. Because we are his hands and feet extended, aren't we? And when we love people, when we care for them, that's Jesus loving them because he loves them. And he's just simply looking for vessels, willing vessels to say, Lord, come fill me that I can be poured out for you. I think our time has ended. Can you put that song on? Let me introduce it first. We're going to go into communion. We're going to serve you. But I want you to sit and focus on this song. Probably 95% of you never heard it, but read the words. And let the words minister to your heart, and then we'll go into a time of breaking bread with one another. Little volume, please, Sarah.
A lot of us grew up believing at any moment we can lose it all, and at the drop of a hat God might turn his back and move on. A lot of us feel like we blew it, thinking that we're just too far gone, but I want you to know there's still hope for you. No matter what. So come as you are, run to the cross and be free. Oh, be free.
Taken from Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and 39. I want to read this morning Luke. Jeff, would you and Carrie Ann come this morning? Tim and Sheila? Oh! We forgot to sing happy birthday. Normally I wouldn't interrupt this, but this is important. Sheila, Stan, Rose, San. Very important birthday. I won't let you guess, but think round numbers and think fives and tens. Anyways, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear. Happy birthday to you. Stay standing. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Aaron. Be seated. I was going to pray, but that takes care of that. Thanks. Thank you, Aaron. Jeff and Carrie Ann, would you come, please, and Sheila and Tim on my right. And just realized I had a short message there on communion this morning, but we'll get to that next time. Wow. Thought I was having fog brain for a minute there, but Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. And if you're here this morning, we have open communion. The only requirement to share the elements with us that you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And we just welcome you to come as part of this little body here and break bread with us. Jesus, when he had risen from the dead, and pardon me, just before he went to the grave, he sat with his disciples in John's gospel. It's when he washes their feet, but here we have it in Luke's gospel and his take on it. Verse 17. After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. Here we go. And he took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Jesus Christ died for our sins. He went through that horrible death, that torture, spikes driven in his hands, hung on the cross for hours. His words were, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they've done. He paid the debt for our sin. There's nothing that could pay our debt for our sin. We were separated from God, all of us, and Christ died for you and I. And he simply invites us, come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest for your souls. He's made it so simple for us to be reconciled to his Father. If you're here this morning and you've never done that, it's as simply as asking God, recognizing your separation from the Lord, and asking him to forgive your sins based on his shed blood and his broken body on your behalf. Father, we thank you for this time this morning in your presence. We thank you, Lord, that when we invite you in, you do show up. You come and you minister. And we ask, Lord, as we break the bread and take the cup this morning, Lord, we just pray that your presence would abide, that as we take these elements in faith, these symbols, Lord, of what you did, and as we remember you, Lord, that you would continue your marvelous work of grace within our lives, your church, your body, your family. We ask this in the precious name of your Son. To him be glory, honor, and praise. Amen.